Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
It's the perfect mix of music, news, and interviews. Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And we've been around the world, Jodie, haven't we? And Linz?
We sure have. Welcome to Detours here on Joy 94.9. It's a great Saturday. It's going to be hot, hot, hot here in Melbourne.
So hot. But this is the best part about summer in Melbourne. It's actually arrived, hasn't it, Lindsay?
Absolutely. And believe me, I'm one of the Melbourneites that has been waiting with bated breath for this. Waiting, waiting. And don't forget, too, that today's the stiletto race at DT. So it's going to be a hot one for everybody down there, but it's going to be a good day, I'm sure. So that's sort of like going around the world, seeing who dresses up in what down there today.
Is that Golden Stiletto Stakes or something? Like
Golden Stiletto Race.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
Yeah. I imagine there'll be lots of bags of frozen peas for those ankles that get rolled in those heels. I'm a comfortable flat shoe girl myself.
Well, it's amazing, really, because they manage them so well. I don't understand the concept myself, but it's always the glamour heads that that turn the most heads, the glamour head sharks, you know, the swimming team, who I hope are down there today, because they're generally in speedos and nothing more.
Fantastic.
Which is good. And we're smack in the middle of midsummer month, which is just fabulous. So a lot of people actually travelling to Melbourne. I saw some Sydney people and Queensland people today that are coming and doing all the events over the weekend that's part of the Midsummer Carnival. You can check out midsummer.org.au, or I think they've got an iPhone app as well. Check that out and find out what's in your town, because Melbourne is a town for not just us, but people that visit us. Now, last week we had Scott Davis on the show talking about his travel through Europe. Awesome experiences, and the podcast is up. You can check that out, but you can't check it out to the end of this show.
That's right, because you've got to listen to us.
And today we're going on a different direction in terms of travel and tourism.
Well, you know, we often talk about holidays as being a sort of major event and, you know, plan ahead, but our special guest in the studio today actually wrote a book about the great Australian pubs, and we'd like to welcome to the studio Lee Milne. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, hello, Lee.
Oh, hello. I'm on now, am I?
Yeah, I know you there.
So
thanks
welcome
for having me. Oh, our pleasure. And Lee, you're a travel writer by profession.
Yes.
How did you get into the biz?
Oh, by accident, really. I was a newspaper journalist, and to cut a very long story short, when I left full-time newspaper work to have my children, I thought I'd be a stay-at-home mother. And then someone offered me some work for a travel magazine, and I discovered this whole new world and all these people out there actually making a living out of travelling and writing about it. And so gradually it kind of snowballed, and that's now, you know, that's what I do.
It must be amazing to have the opportunities to travel, not just within Australia, but overseas. I mean, are there times where you think, you know, I just want to enjoy this and I don't want to have to absorb it to write about it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, all the time. And it's not actually the dream job that everybody seems to think it is, because it is work. And so when I go, whether it's overseas or whether it's somewhere in Australia, I'm not necessarily going somewhere I would choose to go, and I'm not doing the things that I would choose to do if I was on holiday. And often I'm on my own. So, you know, and I'm taking notes and I'm taking photos and I'm going back to my hotel room at night and writing. So it's probably a bit different to what most people think it is. I mean, that's not to say that it's not fabulous. It is, but it is work.
Yeah, it's one of those professions that I mean, I'd love to be a travel writer. It's very, very romantic. And you would have been to places that people haven't been, no sort of off-the-road things. With the book that you've produced, how did you get into the book that you wrote, I should say, how did you come up with this concept?
Well, I think in my travels around Australia for work, I quite often stayed in or visited country pubs in particular. And I remember staying in one once and just thinking, you know, there's great stories. They have great stories to tell. You know, there are ghost stories and great history, and often they're those beautiful old colonial buildings. And I just thought, this would make a great thing if you could put them all together and make a book out of it. And so some years later, a publisher went, yes. And so I set about actually going out and researching it and coming up with the pubs that are in the book. There's 100 pubs in the book from every state and territory. So, yeah.
I think it's been a book that's been an awfully, like, 200-odd years in coming, because it is such a part of our culture, the corner pub, people meeting at the pub. You know, if ever you're going to a country town, you want to go to the loo, you'll go to the pub rather than and listen to stories and have a beer. I'm not going to ask you how many beers you had, but...
not as many as you might think. I was too busy taking notes and taking photos.
Oh, come on. There's been a few.
Oh, yeah, there were a few.
So where did you start? What was your preparation?
Well, I started with a list, basically. I started with a list of places that I had been to that I thought would be good. And then I kind of put out the word in various different ways that I was looking for ideas and suggestions. And I got really flooded by people. So, you know, everybody's got their favourite pub or a great pub that they've been to when they've been on holiday or something. So then I had all these other ideas, and then it was a matter of narrowing it down. I mean, I could have done 500 pubs, not 100. So geographic spread, you know, obviously not too many from... or one from most country towns, even though there might be five pubs in the main street. I had to pick one of them. And, you know, from the capital cities, there's about five from the major cities, and then the rest of them are country ones. So it was just a matter of trying to cover, not everywhere, but, you know, a good spread of places, and a mix of city pubs and outback pubs and, you know, seaside pubs and country pubs, and just... trying to get a good mix.
There's that rivalry when you have, you know, I was in a Southern Riverina town when my family had a dairy farm, 7 pubs, 2 clubs, 700 people for the town, and that was it. And there was a rivalry. You if you were in one pub, you didn't go to another pub, and vice versa. Did you get any of that rivalry coming through in the tales, picking up the anecdotes and the folklore between the pubs?
No, I didn't really. I mean, I know that exists in towns where there's more than one pub. Everyone has their favourite. I probably wasn't there long enough, and usually I'd picked my pub by then, by the time I got there, with a few exceptions. I mean, there were some that didn't make it into the book for various reasons. Either they were rude to me or...
yeah, that's a good reason.
Or the food was really awful, or, you know, there were some where I just thought, actually, I don't want to send people here. So there were a few like that, but no, I didn't really get a sense of that sort of kind of bitter rivalry anyway.
So it's that whole pub culture then overrides everything. It's about looking at Australia from the view of people that go to pubs and travel and are part of the pub culture.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I you know, I talk to people behind the bar, well, both sides of the bar, really, you know, and I talk to owners and people, even local historians. You know, often the owners of some of the pubs didn't know the history, and so I dug it out some other ways if I thought it was still worthwhile putting it in.
I have to ask, because, you know, some of these country pubs, and I had this experience not so long back in a hotel in the middle of everywhere, somewhere near Ararat, and we walked into the bar, and because we were women, the guys in that pub were like, they, you know, just moved down the bar. Did you come across any of that, like that old, you know...
Try being a woman on your own.
No.
Yeah. Look, only once or twice, and generally they didn't make it.
good.
So what was part of your criteria, Lee, when you were looking for pubs? Was it about atmosphere, or was it about the menu? What were the things that sort of stuck out for you?
It was about atmosphere. I guess when I started, I did have a criteria that was... fairly flexible, I guess. But what I was after most of all were pubs that had a really great story to them. So good history, good character, you know, almost I was looking for some sort of a link with some part of Australian history as well, you know, whether it was the Gold Rush or, you know, some event of some kind. I did look for food, yes, food and wine, but not always. I mean, some food in some pubs is pretty ordinary or not.
They're so polite.
Not bad. No, not bad, but not fantastic, you know. And I mean, there are some pubs in there, say like the Royal Mail at Dunkeld, that is renowned for its fantastic food and wine, and that's why people go there. It also has a great history and that sort of thing. But there were other pubs that had fantastic stories to them where the food was just kind of average, but they still went in. So there was a bit of a criteria that I did follow, yeah.
Now, you're here on Detours. If you want to join in and share some of your stories and share in some of Lee Milne's stories, 0427 JOY949 is the SMS, or on air at joy.org.au. And I think we've got a reason for people listening today because they have a fabulous opportunity.
We have, Greg. Of course, on Detours, we have a special prize today for members of Joy. And we're not going to give it away now because we want you to answer some questions, and there'll be some, you know, hoops to jump through, and it's a fantastic copy of The Great Australian Pubs, which is the book that Lee has written, and later on in the show we'll give you more info, but stay with us till one here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. That is the beautiful sounds of Amy Winehouse with Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? We would, but sadly,
what a tragic loss.
She's not here. It's a tragedy. So if you're out there and you're connected to the music industry, this is about longevity, isn't it? We want you to be Australian artists for a long time, not a short time.
That's exactly right.
You're on Detours with Jodie, Lindsay and Greg and our special guest Lynn Milne. Lee Milne. Our special guest, Lee Milne. Just chop that bit out.
I like that. Lee. Bit of a Lee Hazelwood happening there too. Lee.
And Lee's joining us. She's actually written over 10 travel books or edited them or co-authored them, and mostly guidebooks. So what are some of the other books that you've written, Lynn? Lee. Oh, I just did it. Sorry, I'm really good with names. Stop it, Greg. It's your fault. Lee.
Lucy.
I get it a lot, I must say. Yeah, I don't know. It's,
can I call you Lucy?
Oh, you can call me anything you like. I don't care. What was the question again?
Tell us about some of the other books that you've co-authored or written.
Oh, okay. Well, I've written quite a few books to Melbourne, guidebooks to Melbourne. I do a lot of work for the Frommers Guidebook Company. So I do Frommers Australia, and I've done Frommers Melbourne Free and Dirt Cheap, which was really interesting to research. Frommers Melbourne Day by Day, which is, just a guide to things to do in Melbourne, and their little pocket guides. I've done everything from, you know, the history of Queensland Rail, which was my first book way back, you know, in the 90s sometime. And I've edited a couple of anthologies of travel written by the members of the Australian Society of Travel Writers. Lots of variety, really, you know, and pubs. Of course.
And pubs.
Which, of course, is what we're here to talk about today. And coming up later, there will be a giveaway for Joy members of the Great Australian Pubs, which has over 100 top pubs across every state and territory. And, of course, the history was of great interest to you in a lot of these places. Maybe to run us through, Lee, some of the highlights of or places that are memorable for you.
Well, the places that were memorable probably aren't necessarily memorable because of their history. I mean, that's all part of it. But the places that were memorable often were because of the people or the location. And there are some great outback pubs there in the book. So, but also places like Goat Island Lodge in the Northern Territory. And it is literally on an island in the Adelaide River. and you can only get there by helicopter or by boat. So,
I like that.
So it's a great place for fishermen. You know, yeah. So a lot of guys are there in their tinnies, pulled up to the jetty, and they fish, and they have the bar there is called Casey's Bar, and it's named after the resident crocodile, who comes up onto the bank every night and gets chicken thrown down to him,
and a can of Forex
and caramelized potatoes and things like that. So it's pretty rough and ready, but you can stay there. It's got cabins, and the guy who runs it, you know, kind of says, well, you have to be crazy, but you know, I am. So it's you know, it's places like that, places, a lot of places in Tasmania I really loved as well. One of my favourites is called The Pub in the Paddock, and it's at Pyongana in northern Tasmania. And they are famous for their beer-drinking pigs, who are called Pinky and Priscilla. Oh. And it sounds terrible, I know. And I thought, before I went, I thought, I don't think I'm going to like this, you know. And what's the RSPCA thinking of letting this happen? But when I got there, I found that, in fact, they water down the beer. There's hardly any beer in the beer that they feed the pigs. It's just a little bit of a taste. And there's a limit to how many you have to pay. It's like a charity thing, and you pay a dollar or something, you know, for the special bottles of beer to feed the pigs. And kids love it. So there were people there
love
with kids. Yeah. And the pigs seem to love it as well. But apparently it wasn't always like that. I think when they started off years ago doing it, it was, you know, proper full-strength beer, and it was a bit of a problem. So, so you know, lots of different kind of quirky places that... just yeah. appealed to me. Yeah.
Do you find though, Lynn, like in you know,
Lee,
as we be, Lee. How did that happen, Lorelei? Lee, did you find though, in the city, we're losing a lot of that Aussie culture as corner pubs close down. We're losing local music, and you know that whole everything's changing. Did you find though, going into these pubs, that a little bit of our culture was staying alive? That even down to the language, the stories, stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, some of the language, I don't know quite, I do know what you mean, but yeah. I do remember one particular pub where I didn't put it in because the language was really bad and offensive and terrible, so I just went off my list. look, I think pub culture's alive and well, definitely. Mm. I mean, I think you only have to walk down the road here to Young and Jackson at any time and to see that traditional pub culture is absolutely alive and well. And certainly in the smaller places, I don't think things often have changed for quite some time.
Because, you know, I live in Brunswick. I grew up in Williamstown. There was something like 132 pubs, you know, just about, you know, in its heyday, just about every old property at one stage was a pub. And now living in Brunswick, like the East is the next pub to go. And, you know, it's sort of like the changing face. And it sort of worries me in a way, because there is that incredible pub culture that we have where, you know, stories are told and, you know, transistor radios are sold and stuff like that. You know, if you wanted something, you went to your local pub.
I think that still happens.
Oh, good.
But look, there were a couple of places that I went to where the publicans were quite despondent about their particular futures and the lack of the business that was coming through, or the competition, or, you know, just that there are a number of country pubs closing. Some are really thriving and others are really struggling. So I think it's a tough life.
But part of that's bad change. Brad from St Kilda has joined us through SMS 0427 joy 949, and he said, not sure if Lee is aware of the history around the Darnham pub just past Warrigal, but it survived demolition and the highway duplication as road construction workers used it as a watering hole, and now the highway gently bends to avoid the pub. So that's the problem, isn't it, where you have suburbs developing, you have highways moving and shifting, you have communities actually changing so that the pub's no longer the physical location at the centre of that little collection of townships. Have you found that and explored that?
I haven't, because I was really exploring places that were accessible and I guess, you know, were the centre of their communities rather than, you know, the ones that were kind of perhaps on the way out. But, yeah, that's a really good point. Things are changing and, as you say, roads change and, you know, the bypass goes through and, you know, those pubs are left behind a bit, and I think those are among the ones that are going to struggle.
I think of Seymour, the pubs at Seymour in their heyday, huge following. People used to hop off the Hume Highway coming up to Melbourne, Sydney, but these days completely bypass Seymour.
I was just thinking. I don't really go to pubs. This is interesting. To talk about, to meet people and sort of hear stories and the things that you just reflected, Lindsay. But then thinking about it now, when I travel, I do go to places. I don't have a local here in Melbourne. I don't go out to a local pub.
Okay.
Yeah. But when I travel, I do. Yeah.
I'm not a pub person either, but one of the things that I do like whenever I do travel in the country, and of course, again, growing up in Williamstown, we used to have a pub crawl bike ride, for goodness sakes, but with the remaining pubs that were open. But it is that, and I suppose too, you know, like when I travel in the country with my mum, it is that thing about let's have, you know, a pub lunch, and travelling with my grands when I was little, let's go to the pub for lunch. No matter where you were, in the middle of everywhere in Australia, there was always this pub where you could get a pretty good meal. It was basic, you know, meat and three veg, and a Shirley Temple for me, a Shandy for my gran, and a beer for my pop. You know, and it's that sort of thing about our pubs. And then there's that dark side where, you know, you can buy the transistor radio and the VCR for 3 and 6. You know, that stuff as well.
I think you're right. People, I'm really surprised when people say to me, I'm not a pub person. And lots of people say, oh, I'm not a pub person. And I would have probably said that too. But that doesn't mean that it's not really interesting to go, you know, to go into them. And the other great thing about them is that a lot of them still have accommodation. You know, so and it's pretty basic, but it's cheap.
There's a law to it, and I don't know if it's still standing. And I only know this because my first partner, her parents, owned the Steam Packet Hotel in Williamstown, and there was an old law, I think, from the early 1800s, where it was an in-law. So if you, an INN law, so if you were a traveller and you needed a place to stay, the pub had to let you stay there, and there had to be a bed made up for a traveller that, you know, needed that room for the night to stay in that pub. I don't know if that law is still
there. Well, it still exists in Sydney. I stayed a few weeks ago in Sydney in a hotel in central Sydney, and down below was the classic old Australian pub. It wasn't a club, it was a pub. But upstairs they had 8 floors of hotel rooms, very small rooms that if you wanted a room and you were there, you actually had access to a room. You had to pay for it, of course, but it was part of that pub culture. It hadn't changed in 100 years of Sydney life.
And there's a lot of those in Sydney. And it is very cheap. I mean, to me, it was a bit of an eye-opener that you could actually get overnight accommodation for $30, you know, and it's clean and it's comfortable and, you know, some of them are not very flash, but they're everything you need. Bathroom down the hallway.
Now, that voice is Lee Milne, our guest, who's the author of
Great Australian Pubs.
Great Australian Pubs, which is, it says it all, really, doesn't it? So stay with us. There's so much more to come in the next half hour of Detours. Don't go away.
Joy 94.9.
If you are a proud Joy sponsor, this could be your business being promoted on air right now. Call 1300-JOY-949 and chat to the Joy sales team about becoming a proud Joy sponsor. Spread the word and be heard this summer on Joy. Call 1300-JOY-949.
Now, you're here on Detours, and that dulcet tone was our co-host, Jodie Wilmer, who's coming into a bit of record year. You think it's 500 shows for Orange Ribbon? This year, Detours hits its 800 show mark, which is going to be quite fun later in the year.
I'm amazed you remember this.
And we're going to have a celebration, particularly celebration, because Jodie's been with us since a year dot.
Have you really?
Yes, I'm not turning 800 this year. I'm turning 40.
Which is cool. Now, our guest today on Detours is Lee Milne, fabulous author of Great Australian Pubs, which is released in August last year.
No, I finished writing it in August.
Oh, writing in August.
It's released next week.
Oh, it's next week.
Yeah, it's not in the shops yet.
When you write a book and it's wrapped up and you finish writing and it's submitted finally and your edits come back, because you have those backwards and forwards edits, what's the sense of relief like for you? When you've
wrapped up? Huge. Absolutely huge, yeah. It's, you know, it's a lot of work and it's quite stressful near the end when you're trying to meet that deadline and begging for more time and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, once it's finished, it's kind of like, oh, what will I do with myself now?
Because once you've sold your soul, I mean, I don't mean sold your soul, it's a bit like selling your soul to the devil, but once you've signed on the bottom line, it becomes the product of a publisher, you actually have to meet their deadlines and their timelines. It's actually a business and you've got a job to do.
Yeah. And when I was doing it, I did have that thought of, this is the kind of book where you should write it first and then take it to a publisher, instead of taking the idea and having them say, and now, you know, it has to be done by this point in time. It took me about, I had about 6 months and, you know, I could have taken a year to do it, really.
6 months isn't really a long time, though, is it, to put together 100 great pubs across Australia?
Yeah, yeah. And so, of course, and then you finish writing it, and then it, by the time it actually is a physical product in your hand or in the shops, you've kind of moved on to the next thing.
But does your lounge room still have, you know, I picture white marks where the pictures of the pubs were on the wall and it was faded around it because the project was on the wall for that long. And did it take over your house and your office and your life?
It took over my life. It didn't take over my house. And it didn't really take over my office. I guess it did in a way take over my office in that I didn't do much else for that period of time. But half the time I wasn't there. I was out on the road, you know. I was driving a lot. So, and then I would come home. So I would go off to do one state and then I'd come home and try and write up more while I was then planning the next stage. But I did spend a lot of time on the road.
When you're living out of your car, out of your boot, out of these fabulous pubs in between, travelling between them, how do you get your head around that you're transient and you're moving, and what do you pack with you, what do you take with you, and how do you plan for that?
Well, in terms of the headspace, I think I'm just used to it. I mean, I don't usually spend that much time at a stretch as I did when I was doing this. But, yeah, I just, you know, throw everything I think I'll need in the boot. Especially, I mean, this was good because you are living out of a suitcase, but it's kind of a car-sized suitcase. So, because I did a lot of this in my car, particularly the East Coast, sort of Victoria, New South Wales and the coastal Queensland stuff, I did by car. And Tasmania, I did by car. I took my car over on Spirit of Tasmania and who helped me out with that, which was fantastic of them, and drove around Tasmania. But for Western Australia and the Northern Territory, I flew and then, you know, had a hire car and did all the driving. And I just don't even want to think about how many kilometres I did because it was a lot. Mm. I mean, Perth to Kalgoorlie alone is like, you know, 600 or 700 kilometres. Mm. So, and my car just looked like a tip by the end of it.
I bet it did. I bet. Now, we'll be with you till 1 o'clock here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jody, joined by Greg and Lindsay. Our special guest today is Lee Milne. We're talking about the Great Australian Pubs book, featuring over 100 top pubs across Australian various territories and states.
I have to ask, Lee, was there any pubs that said, you know, look, here's a couple of bucks, you know, put us in? They saw it as a fantastic marketing strategy and tried the old bribe method to get in or have something nicer said about them?
Quite the opposite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, most of them were absolutely thrilled that they were on my list. Some of them didn't even know they were on my list until after I'd been.
Oh, okay.
And those were really the ones that I wasn't sure about until I got there. Mm-hmm. And I learnt pretty quickly that often, unless I was absolutely certain that they were going to go in, it was better not to tell them why I was there. And a couple of them, when I did, and I didn't stay at every pub. I mean, obviously some of them didn't have accommodation, so I couldn't. But say I would base myself in a particular place and then I would go and, you know, check them out and... there was one where I actually did tell them when I got there, you know, this is what I'm here for and, you know, I'd like to talk to someone about the history and so forth and everything. And I said, you know, because I'm doing this book. And the guy went, so? That's very helpful. Oh, it was terribly helpful. They didn't go in.
I have to ask too, like in these pubs, because you know, we know. I know I stayed in the country for a short time, and the woman I was staying with said, "Listen, you know, bush women are not dykes. It's just the way that they dress, right?" I have to ask, because every woman up there seems to be in flannelette shirts, jeans, and you know, R.M. Williams boots or blunnies. But did you come across any women running these pubs?
Oh yeah, lots.
Oh really?
In fact, I was actually quite surprised at how many pubs were run by women. Lots of them.
And, like, had they inherited the pub from the family, or had they gone up there, like, you know, the tree change or the pub change? Or
I don't recall anybody who had inherited, but a lot of them seem to have been in pubs, you know, sort of as a career almost. Or they were a couple, but the woman was the licensee. The only really great story, and it wasn't about a woman, but the only really great story about inheritance was the Peel Inn at Nundle in New South Wales is still run by a family whose great grandfather or something won the pub in a poker game.
Wow.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. That was such a great story, you know. When I wasn't actually sure that I was going to put them in, and when I got there and I heard that story, I was like, oh, yes, you know, this is the kind of thing that I'm looking for. Yeah. So, and, you know, it's now in the hands of the fourth generation or fifth or something like that. So
that'd be great, wouldn't it? You sort of know where you're headed from the time of your birth. You know?
Yeah, you don't have to then worry about what you're going to do when you grow up.
It's all just there.
Now, we have Lee Milne, a fabulous guest, Great Australian Pubs, finished writing it in August, and it comes out next week.
February the 1st.
Wednesday next week. But coming up, you've got an opportunity. Stay with us, because the opportunity is just fabulous, Jodie, isn't it?
It sure is. We have one copy that has been kindly provided by Hardy Grant for a Joy listener. Now, you must be a member and you mustn't have won a prize in the last 2 weeks. Or if you're a new member, you must sign up with a credit card over the phone or you'll forfeit the prize. And we will give the prize to the first caller who answers the question correctly of the number of pubs that are in this fantastic book. We've talked about it a number of times. It's between 90 and 110.
That's the hoop you have to jump through, folks.
And we'd love to hear from you right now. You can ring 1300-JOY-949, and it's the first caller here on Joy 94.9.
So good, when it's good, I want to spend my whole life loving you. Tired, and you don't know how close I've come to leaving you. You do not want out that door, and I'm coming back no more.
You're on Detours with Jodie, Lindsay and Greg, and our guest, Lee Milne, fabulous author of Great Australian Pubs. And that song was, of course, Tina Arena. And you'll see Tina Arena. She's on some show on Channel 10 that's been regurgitated, and she's one of the judges, which is pretty good. I hear it's actually an okay show. And that song was If I Didn't Love You. Beautiful song.
And that beautiful track we played before was a duet between Cyndi Lauper and Sarah McLachlan called
Time After Time.
Perfect. And we'd like to congratulate our lucky listener, Gavin from Thornbury, who has won a copy of The Great Australian Pubs by Lee Milne. It's a gorgeous book, actually. It's got great photography. It's not like a little guidebook. It's more a sort of coffee table book, but you could still take it in your bag for your trip. So that's the way I'd describe it.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, good. I'm glad we're on the same page with that.
And what we'll do now, right, we're going to indulge just for a moment, because Lee will be probably in transit. She won't be around having a big official launch on Wednesday when it floods the bookshops, your favourite bookshop, and you'll be out there getting a copy, I'm sure. Let's do it now.
Absolutely.
Lee, on behalf of Detours and Joy 94.9, Jodie, Lindsay and I would like to congratulate you on your fabulous book, and Jodie will declare it officially launched.
It is now launched.
Thank you. No bottle of champagne to break over it or ribbon to cut or anything, but hey...
We'll have that after the show.
That's right. No, well done. I mean, it must have been such a huge labour of love, absolutely, to put this together. And just, we've got a few more minutes. Could you tell us maybe a story that reminds you of this journey of writing the book?
Well, look, you know, I was talking before about the accommodation and bathrooms down the hallway. And when I was travelling around Tasmania, one of my friends joined me for some of that that trip. And we stayed at the Shipwrights Inn in Hobart, which is a very famous old pub. And it's got a very nautical theme and is well loved by yachties and so forth. And the bathrooms are down the hallway. And my friend, whose name is Lynn, actually, she got up in the early hours of the morning. Luckily, it wasn't the middle of the night, and went down the hallway to the bathroom and got back and found that she'd locked herself out of her room in her pyjamas. And it was about, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the morning or something. So she had to pad off downstairs and find one of the cleaners to come and let her back in. And it turned out that we were actually meeting, because she'd knocked on my door and said, "Oh, what will I do?" The cleaner was actually one of the regular patrons who has a stained glass window in the pub dedicated to him. So it was great, but she didn't meet the ghost. But luckily, someone was there to save her. So there's a bit of a tip. Make sure that you're at least attired when you go down to that bathroom.
Exactly. You never know what's going to happen. Well, thank you so much, Lee, for joining us today and officially launching your new book, available online and also in the bookstores by Hardy Grant, called Great Australian Pubs. And it features over 100 top pubs. And I'm looking forward to having a flick through and a read at some stage too.
Online, search for Explore Australia, which is the imprint, the publishing name.
Terrific, and best of luck with your move to Brisbane.
Thank
and
you.
Good luck for your the Freelance Writers Festival in March. You're a
Thanks.
Busy lady.
Yep.
It's been great to meet you.
Thank you.
We look forward to catching up. I'm sure there'll be more fabulous books from Lee Milne down the pathway.
I hope so. Cheers. Thank you.
See you next week, folks.
See you next week. Stay tuned for Cravings here on Joy.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.